SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are we live? Yes, we are. All right, today we're going to be talking about something that is important in all areas of our life, but especially when it comes to the casino and when we play the game of craps. And of course, we're going to be talking about planning. Get ready to talk all about planning right now.
Welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor. Let's get rolling.
Well, Jim, how are you this week?
I am doing great. How about you, Mr. Color Up?
I'm good.
Anything exciting going on in life?
Well, as you know, I don't know how much we can say, but we had a pre-recorded interview with a special guest that will be coming out next week. So I'm really excited about that.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was craps related. Mm-hmm. And topically related to something we've recently discussed here on the podcast. So between all those things, maybe you might figure it out. But I think it'll be really great content, great information, great conversation for those interested and who also love the game of craps like us. So yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun and I look forward to it. And like Forrest Gump said, that's all I got to say about that. So we're moving on. But today's topic is a big one. And it's planning, and I want to talk to the audience right now and want to find out, A, do you have a plan when you come to the casino, when you come to the craps table? And if so, how much time do you spend, you know, looking at your planning session? What do you plan with? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So how much time and what you should be planning on. So let's just dive on in, shall we?
Absolutely. You fire off some questions. I'll give my two cents on the topic. Okay. I mean, planning. I didn't plan for today's episode. A little behind the scenes. I was a little behind, and that's why we're running a little bit late. I just got busy working and editing and making videos, and that's just what I do. And sometimes
you're in the zone.
Yeah, we took a little break, but we're back. We'll try to be consistent, let's dive into planning and what you got, and I'll give you my two cents.
So let's go first of all. First thing, let's talk about the ultimate plan, which determines a lot of things. Do you plan out your bankroll? Like when you come on up to the casino, are you planning out your bankroll?
Oh, well, for me, absolutely. I'm on a family budget still. So
okay,
whatever it is, it's. It could be 300, it could be 500. For my cruise journeys, I try to save up and bring 1,000.
Okay.
I've never played for more than 1,000, and I've never went to the ATM to, you know, once I'm down or whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah, my plan is to bring that amount of money, 300 to 500, 1,000 for a cruise. And I don't deviate from that. And I don't hit up, you know, I don't go back for seconds. No double dipping.
Do you bring the whole 1K for the first session and buy in at the bankroll? Or do you chunk that up in the sessions when you usually play? Or how do you plan on that?
Yeah. So on the cruises I do. So I treat it a little different. I'm still trying to figure out how the rating and stuff works there. So mm-hmm. I do flash the full $1,000. I'm not going to lose the full $1,000 on that night because I'm, you know, on multi-night cruise. So mm-hmm. I got to keep that budget. But for them, I do bring it. But if I go, you know, to my local casino here in Reno, I plan on playing with 300. I just bring the 300. And I can't think of another. And I mean, I guess like maybe a Dice Con is an instance where I'm planning on playing for multiple days. Mm-hmm. And so there I kind of, you know it's like $300 a day or something like that. I'm like, well, I'll play one, maybe two sessions a day, that sort of thing. So I want to make sure that I have enough for each session that I plan or each day or whatever. So yeah, I certainly think about it ahead of time. I don't just go to the ATM or see what's in my wallet or whatever.
Okay. So I know this is one thing that you put out in all your videos, and I've read a lot of books, and you've read every book that's out there.
Yeah.
And you promote this idea of planning and bringing it up bankroll for count 'em 10 shooters. And I have not found it in any of the books that I've read.
Yeah.
But I want to know, where do you come up with that 10? What is the plan behind the 10? And what is the idea behind it?
That is a great question, because I don't know. I don't remember ever reading it in a book or hearing it from someone. And maybe in my own experiences and trying out, I don't know where it came from, but I started talking about it, and I know other people talk about it as well, but where it originated from, I don't know. So the ideal is, there's nothing magical about it. If you have a strategy that costs $100 per shooter, and let's just say it's $100, you're going to bet $100 on one person. And for 10 shooters would be $1,000. You need to bring $1,000 to last through 10 shooters, worst case scenario. So you put out the $100, immediate seven, you lose your $100. And then the next player, put out your $100, immediate seven, you lose your $100, right? So 10 shooters. The ideal is hopefully one of the 10 would go on a winning streak. But that doesn't mean, you can go by 10 shooters and all of them be bad for you. So at that point, I think it's like 10 shooters is usually once around the table. You know, sometimes there are full tables with 16 players, but 10 tables is like once around the table a lot of times. And if you go around the whole table and don't have one good shooter, you know what? You deserve to go. It's just not your day, right? You have a very unlucky day.
It's not. I just didn't know if, there was some method to the madness.
There's no odds and probabilities or a certain percent should or shouldn't. I don't know where that came from, but I do try to stick to it for the most part when I can. Sometimes I'm a little underfunded.
Okay.
But usually not. If I only have $300, then I'm like, well, you know what? It's a $30 strategy for me at a $10 table, because I want to make sure that I can cover 10 shooters worth. I don't want to have $300 and put out $100 out there, three shooters, and I'm out the door. I feel like it just doesn't give you enough chance.
It's length of play for you. Length of play.
Well, yeah. This game is all about variance. It's all about ups and downs, hots and cold. People like to call it hots and cold streaks, but there's so many. You can have a couple really short three-roll shooters, but rarely do you see that five times in a row. You might have three rolls, four rolls, six rolls, and then you'll have a 13 roll. Okay. And then back down to a two roll, so there are ups and downs, and I just feel like if you only have enough money for three, you got to get it lucky immediately or else you're just going home early. So
I don't know, but just spend more time parking than you did playing in the casino, because
the 10 shooters PSA is just kind of give yourself a shot to stick around, I guess. Okay. And if it doesn't work out sometimes I've made decisions let's say I bring $500 in the first six shooters, I've lost, and some I won $50 or whatever. So I think we're going to talk about that later as far as walk away. So
yes.
But you don't have to lose all $500. We can have a walk away plan too. But usually for me, if I bring it, I'm willing to lose it. So
okay.
And if I'm down to my last shooter, I'm down to my last shooter, and hopefully this is the one.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. But there's nothing magical about 10.
No. I have recently read on a website a guy, he mentioned 10, but he goes, I'd recommend 20. And yeah, if you have them, why not? Why not 20?
Yeah.
The more the bankroll, the better, right? The longer you could stay in the game. I don't know. The longer you stay in the game, the more likely you are to lose.
Yeah.
Too,
I was gonna say, there's a
tipping point.
Sword. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have the great answer for you, Jim. I don't know where I came from, but that's what
not,
I use.
Not to put Mr. Color up on the spot, but I can't tell you how many times I've watched some of your strategy videos and you say, Joe Bo sending the strategy. He recommends $2,000 we're playing with 600.
Yeah.
You know, you're just, I know you're making a video.
Yeah. I'm like, I know my video is only going to be 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. So there's no reason for me to
count all those extra chips.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the second thing about planning, which is bankroll, which is important. But do you plan your strategies ahead of time going into that day, or do you wait till you get to the casino? Do you look at the table and see how it's going, or what's your plan when it comes to strategies?
What is your plan?
So my plan is always the same.
It's
plan
always the same.
Because I'm a very boring math guy, and I know people hate me because I play in a very boring way, but I am a I am what's called a come better. Yeah. And I'm a line better, and I do play single odds, and then I'll take the advantage, and every once in a while I'll get lucky with a yo on the come bet going up. And
now you say this, but I've been with you multiple times recently, and I'm seeing you making place bets, and you're throwing a couple hard ways. I mean, you're doing stuff. I'm like, wait a second, Jim, the come better is not come betting. He's all out there. I think. Did you make a lay bet at the last thing I was with you? I don't even know.
It might have been a lay bet, but let me tell you this: I only did it after I hit the ATS on the other table.
So I
was playing with some house money.
Okay.
Yeah, house money. So I'll do stupid stuff when I'm around friends, but I won't play it. That's just my plan is I do mathematically everything I can to lower a house edge, and I play the same way every time. Although here lately I have been convinced at placing some bets. I'll place a 6 and an 8, and occasionally I'll do the inside every once in a while just to have some more numbers. But I'm branching out. But my normal game when I'm playing with my buddies, I'm a come better, and even on a craps list table.
So I overthink it a lot. I fret and worry. It just depends on the situation, what I'm doing. I'm always like, okay, what is the best plan for what I'm doing? Like if I got a club member coming in town, he says he wants to meet up, it's short notice. I'm like, ooh, I don't have the budget. I got $100. Like, then I got to go, okay, I need a low budget time at the table type plan, right? Or if it's on the boat, it's a different thing, ship. So it just kind of depends on the situation. And I think through, well, okay, what's most important here? Time at the table? Or, you know, am I going by myself and just want to have some fun and a chance to win? You know, that's a different strategy. It just kind of, so it depends. But I definitely do plan out and think like, okay, what strategy am I going to use? And for the most part, I stick to it. So I know a lot of people are really adamant, like, you got to be flexible. And I don't know if that's the case. I certainly am wrong or could be wrong about this, but flexibility means you're just changing your mind on a whim. And, you know, you feel like it's a hot table now, so you change your strategy. You feel like it's a cold table, but we don't know that. That's in the past. Yeah. And we can't predict the future based off the past. So I find whenever I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. Okay, now I'm going to switch to this. And then the dice switch with me. And then I'm like losing this, playing this way. I'm like, okay, let's switch to this way. And then the dice, like, it's like the dice gods are like, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
They'll get
you.
So
it's not your night.
Yeah. So I figure like, okay, if I just go in with my plan, stick with it, play the strategy, you know, and I have 10 shooters, like maybe that doesn't work for the first three, but maybe 4, 5, and 6 work great. And then 7, 8, not so great. So it'll come back around eventually if you got a strategy. So,
purpose, getting back to the planning, the purpose of play has a big thing to do with your strategy.
Huge.
And I agree with you on that. My, like when I went up a couple, 3 weeks ago, we went and played up at MGM with my buddies, and one of them wanted to play at the craps list table, and I usually don't like the craps list table, but I actually got up at 1.500, but we were playing, and I think I told you that week, you know, I kept playing because I was playing with my friends, where if I'd been $500 up with my wife, if she'd have came to the table, she'd say, let's go, $500, that kind of thing. But I continued to play, and I think I lost about 90, but that was after crazy tipping and everything. So really all a break-even kind of day. But yeah, technically $90 to the casino that night. So purpose has a big impact on the play on that one. So that's a big thing about playing. How about with you? Now you're in the Reno area. I don't think that's a secret. That's the home base. Where do you play as far as choosing to play? How do you plan on that? Do you have a certain spot, or what factors are involved in determining where you play?
It is tricky because I have plenty of options. But I played a lot at the Grand Sierra whenever I kind of had a kind of semi partnership with them a little bit. I was promoting them a little bit in exchange for some promo play. And so I would play there more. I like playing at the Peppermill. I recently found out, you know, they started doing $3 craps until someone's at the table. Then they'd bump it up till $5, and then they don't bump it up to $10 until the evening shift. So, hey, that's awesome. I like the Atlantis because it's they do the roll counting thing. I don't play there that much, but I do like that. And the other, I guess the other casinos are just some of the casinos in town are always high limits, and or I don't like the cruise or whatever. So usually I stick to the three that I mentioned out of the, I think, dozen that have dice tables in town. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's a plan. It just, and I don't play a lot by myself. So if club members are coming in, they'll usually let me know, hey, I'm staying here. I'm going to play here. I'll just go meet them there. So that has, you know, more to do with than anything, but I don't know what people, I guess people maybe assume because I run a big craps channel that I'm like, I'm playing a couple times a week, and it's just not the case. So I'm not a regular that goes to the casino constantly.
So they would recognize you from your channel more so from being one of the regulars at a local kind of deal.
Probably. I mean, the GSR, those guys know me because I did a lot of videos there and know the crew really well. I go to the other ones and they recognize me, but they wouldn't go, oh, okay, he's a weekly player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more like, oh, there's Jeremy from Color Up type thing. Yeah.
What are some, when you're planning out your play, what are some of the things you look for in places? You mentioned those three, maybe the crew. What are some other things when you're planning to get your, you know, game on at these places?
Yeah. So
are you looking at comps?
Like if you're going out of town or whatever, I don't care less about comps on land-based casinos. I usually look and try to find out the local rules, you know, the VIG up front or mm-hmm. after on a win only is huge. You know, does the field pay triple? Just kind of some basic craps rules, you know. I don't necessarily, for me, I'm not a big odds player. So if they have 20 times odds, I don't necessarily care. 3, 4, 5 is just plenty for me. Because if I'm up and I add odds, I'll add some odds, but I'm not going to do 10 times odds. I just probably not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm looking for a casino or whenever I'm visiting a new one or whatever, it's probably table rules is the most important to me.
Mm-hmm. How about places that you won at before? Do you feel like you've got a lucky casino, or there are lucky places like that, or are places you avoid because you've never won there?
No, I would think like more ambiance and vibes I would return to versus like, well, actually, you know what? Dealers might affect me more than anything, not winning or losing, but you know, where the dealers, old surly dudes, mm-hmm. would probably cause me not to go back or to return more than anything, actually. So that's probably the number one factor, actually, if I think about it, is how the crew is, really.
Hmm. And of course, if you've never been there before, you don't know.
Mm-mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, yeah, the crew is important. But also, I think there is a little bit of hope when it comes to winning at a place and going back to it. If you've got good vibes of winning at a place, then you're going to go back to it. Where you're not going to say, oh man, my favorite place to play craps is every time I go there, I lose $500. You know, it's just not going to just not going to happen.
Well, Jim, I know I don't lose 500 all the time.
Oh, no,
so
no.
It's hard for me to cross off a casino because I'm always winning, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you are a professional player. Right. That is true, yeah. But, yeah, I can't think of anybody like that. So let's do a little segue now and maybe ask everybody else. And don't forget, we are powered by Sports Grid. Not mm-hmm. sponsored, but powered mm-hmm. by Sports Grid. But let's talk about the exit plan. What is the plan for exiting the craps table? Like when do you stop? When do you stop?
Yeah, exit a winning. So I agree with many authors and many people on the subject of having a stop loss. It's I guess that's like a stock market term. But for me, that might be my whole budget. So I don't know why I necessarily do it on the boat, except for trying to trick them to get better comps when I buy in big. So there, I buy in for 1,000 on a ship, and my stop mm-hmm. loss for one night is 300. If I lost 300, I'm done for the night because I know I'm not going to be able to play the other nights if I keep going. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do buy in and play that way, and they set a particular stop loss, which I think is great. For me, if I buy in at 300, 500, my stop loss is zero. You know, I'm not going to bring 1,000 and then set my stop loss at 500. It's the same thing. I think mentally it's a little easier on people to be like, well, at least I'm going home with 500. You know, I start with 1,000. Mm-hmm. I'm still going home with 500. For me, if I take out the 500, I'm like, I'm ready to light the torch to it.
Okay.
If I'm bringing it, I'm willing to lose it. So for me, I can mentally handle that stop loss of zero. So 500 to zero stop loss, that's the exit plan for me, typically. For winning, some people say, hey, I have a win goal, okay. 10%, 20%, $100, $200. To me, I think that's completely backwards and makes no sense. I think you should progressively increase. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you hit your 10%, love it. Lock it up, put it in your pocket, set it in your back rail, whatever, and then keep playing with proceeds and try to, you know, keep going. And then mm-hmm. once you drop back down to, you know, what, 110%, then fine, you can leave. But man, don't limit your wins, because it just doesn't make sense to me to limit your wins. I just keep raising your bar. Mm-hmm. If you can on the winning thing, and if, you know, like, yeah, just keep setting that amount higher. Once you're at one, you know, you've won, well, let's say stick with the 500 example. Hey, I'm up to $600. Awesome. Well, you know, it's not exactly 600. I got $680. I'm going to keep playing. I got that 680. If I can get to 700, awesome. If I drop back down to 600, then I might leave up $100.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be like, cool, he paid me $600, pulled my bets down, I'm leaving. Like, I'd rather keep pushing, see how much I can win. I'm not going to limit I will limit my losses. I will not limit my wins.
So you'll hang around the table longer. What if it's the first shooter and you get up, you buy in for five, you're up 180 on the first shooter?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to.
You're going to keep playing after 15 minutes or?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, some people would be like, hey, I won my $100 in 10 minutes. I'm leaving, mm-hmm. which I guess if you live in, I probably do have that luxury. I could walk away after 10 minutes. But for a lot of people, gambling is their vacation time. Mm-hmm. So like, they're not going to play 10 minutes and leave. So it's very difficult, easy to say, but very difficult when you're traveled across mm-hmm. the country, across the state. And you're like, yeah, oh yeah, I hit my $100. Now I'm going to leave after 10 minutes. Okay. I mean, be a little realistic there. So if you're there daily, maybe that's one thing. But no, for me, if I'm up 180 in 10 minutes, I'm going to play that 180 or minimum that 80 and see if I can keep winning. I'm not going to go like, it's not, yeah, I'm not going to cap my wins.
You never, yeah. And all the books, all the good books say that. Don't walk away when the table is quote unquote hot.
Yeah,
you should wait till.
But I certainly do have books, and there are YouTubers that be like, "No, you're just pushing your luck, 10%, $100, whatever it is, and then just you gotta go." Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, middle of the roll, next shooter. Like, what do you mean it's time to go?
Yeah, I just got here.
Yeah.
How about when you're talking about planning, and I know you have one of these things that I have, a wife, and she tends to, you know, go with me on these different things, and she'll go off and do something, and she gets bored, and she comes back, and, you know, I've been playing for a while, and she'll want to know, hey, you know, what's going on, or, you know, let's go to dinner, that type of thing. I hate those interruptions like that. It's kind of hard to plan when you have one of those, but you got to squeeze it in when you can. But how big of an impact does the spouses have on your planning?
Now, I've heard of situations like this, the wife coming to the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an issue in my household.
Okay.
I guess to put it plainly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very rarely do I go play craps with my wife tagging along, per se. So if I'm like, hey, I'm going to meet a club member, or I'm going to go play craps or whatever, she's like, okay, see ya. Like, she doesn't want to be involved. So I'm going, she knows it's my time to do whatever. Same with the boats. I keep saying boats. People give me a hard time. Should be a ship. It's a ship.
Yeah. Put a boat on a ship, but you can't put cruises, a ship on a boat.
Yeah, cruise. On the cruises, it's a similar thing. Like, we'll go to the shows, we'll go to dining, and I tell her, you know, hey, now I'm going to go play craps. And she's like, cool, I'm going to go read a book or whatever and see you. Mm-hmm. So it makes it very easy. And then when I get back, when I'm done, I'm done. So I don't really get interrupted by my wife. Now, there are times that I go to the casino with her and plan to gamble a little bit. And so we'll play a little bit of blackjack or a little bit of slots or a little bit of roulette.
Keep the craps separate.
One, she won't approach a craps table, doesn't like craps, won't even play at the bubble craps machines, but she'll play pretty much all the other games. So when we have date night or we go playing, we play all the other stuff. So it's, maybe that has something to do with it, but when it's like craps time, that's Jeremy's time. So okay. I don't have that issue, but you have that issue a little bit, huh?
Yeah, a little bit sometimes. My wife will just, hey, come on, let's go, because it's, you know, it's a family thing. It's a trip for both of us, not for one of us. But sometimes my biggest thing is like when we'll go to a resort or something, I like the late night evening play. And that kind of leads me into the next little thing. When you're planning, do you plan for like length of play? Because I know you say you don't care about the comps, but I know the longer I stay at the table, you know, it's a negative EV, the longer they, but if I can get up and stay up and keep playing, I know the meter's running. That's good for me as far as the comps, the hotel rooms, that kind of thing.
Yeah, everyone bases off of average bet per hour, essentially. Right. So how much is this guy playing? How much time does he stick around? So, you know, if you can play and keep treading water or winning a little bit or losing a tiny bit, 5 hours is better than 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what happens with me usually. What's the longest you played? Like, you played in one session, I should say.
I never marathon sessions. I guess on the ships are my longest sessions, which is just recently stuff. So I played 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
But I mean, in a land-based casino over the last couple decades, I've always been a super low roller. So when you go in with $200, even on $5 tables when they were around everywhere, you're not lasting but 2 hours. Either you're going to lose the money, or, you know, you get up to $500 and then you start giving it back up. You know, I didn't set my loss limit, but once I trickled back down to 400, then I left. Right. So $200 budget, which has been my budget for many, many years. You don't get to play but for 2 hours or so. And that was before I kind of learned some of these strategies that just kind of keep you at the table. But, you know, I'm probably, you know, if I'm going to play, I'm not going to play these strategies by myself to just have time at the table for no reason. Like if I play, I'm going to try
with
to
people.
Win. And
yeah,
gamble.
Try to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've never really had the super long sessions.
Yeah, my problem was I've had super long sessions and I had really good success when I first started playing. And I would, you know, check into the, you know, we'd go out, eat dinner at the resort or whatever at Cherokee, and then, you know, get to the table 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it's just been a monster night or whatever. And I'm rolling in, you know, with a big, you know, wad $100 bills. And I feel like, you know, show me the money, you know, and waking up the wife. And then sometimes you go in and you played a few hours, like three hours, let's say, and you say, how'd it go? And I'm like, not so well. So, you know, you give it back the next night or whatever.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons I don't too, is I've never really seen the comps because if you, you know, going with $200 and you're there for less than 2 hours, you're not getting rated for anything, and you're not even getting a free room emailed to you or anything. So I've really, and so a lot of times I don't even bring a card or a player's card to play with, just because I'm like, I've never been rated. I'm not going to be rated. Whereas on the ships, it's been really, I've been a completely different experience for me. I get huge comps for, you know, a different type of play. But yeah, I mean, I guess I should start playing. I don't know. I should start playing bigger and longer and for comps. That doesn't. I'm not going to be playing for comps. So
yeah,
yeah. I think now I just recently this week have become an empty nester. My financial situation is probably going to change. I would hope.
You would,
you know,
think.
Now that four kids are gone, I might have some expendable income and may be able to do, you know, $500 or $1,000 every month to just go play crap. So in that case, you know, comps might be worth it. Might, you know, I don't know. I just haven't, I've never been in this situation. So right now that's just where it is.
Yeah. It's funny with me. That's not my purpose for play, mm-hmm. but it's the result, I guess, of playing a long time, because, you know, you've seen me at the table win and you see me lose and all, but when a guy with my kind of bankroll is getting free flights to Biloxi and free flights to, you know, Atlantic City, and you know, I've been to Biloxi, I think, 3 or 4 times now, and we stayed at both the Caesar property and the MGM property down there, and I remember the first time I got the offer, and I called him up. I said, are you sure you got the right guy?
Yeah, you're right. You're not a big player.
I'm not, but I think it's that time.
You put the time.
But this is going to bring another planning thing right now, and this is something I have no data to show for it, but this is our next thing I want to talk about, planning your tipping, because I think tipping has impacted my rate of play and my appreciation from the crew and the people. Sometimes as people move away, depending on the casino, and they'll put information in this little box and stuff, and I think they've bumped me up because I've had them on the ATS and we've all won. And I remember one time specifically at Cherokee, which is a you know, part of the Caesars thing, and I had them up on the ATS with me, and then, you know, everybody's losing their mind and we're winning, and then the lady comes over and the guy's like, no, you know, when they're senior dealers, says, no, he's the only guy who's been token the whole mm-hmm. night, and he's the one who's did this, and listen to this box, and mm-hmm. you know, so I think I got rewarded a couple of 3 times like that because of the tipping. But what's your plan on tipping? I mean, how do you
you get rewarded because they're humans and they have no incentive not to, like we're talking about comps. If you're rated, if you're just playing $50 on the table per hour, that's a lot of casinos, it's like 50 points. Like, it doesn't hurt them to go like, he was playing 100 per hour. Mm-hmm. Like, no skin off their teeth, really. And I found that tipping does influence them. So, well, for one, I believe in tipping. Mm-hmm. I get comments, to me, it seems so foreign and weird that people don't. They're like, you shouldn't be tipping. The casino's job is to tip them. And I'm like, maybe it is, but they're a service industry and tradition that, you know, my son's a dealer. I know how they get paid. They get paid minimum wage, couple dollars over minimum wage, state minimum wage. And they their living is based off of tips. Whether you like it or not, that's just how the system's set up. Should it, MGM and Caesars be paying them more, a livable wage, and have no tips? Argument to be made. But that is not how the system's set up. So I would tell you, you should be tipping. And if you, it's, I go back to going out to eat. If you cannot afford the tip, so if we're talking about planning, hey, I know my meal with my wife is going to be $50 at a mid place, right? $25 a person, yeah. $50. If I can't afford an additional 20%, so what is that? Another $10. If I can't afford $60, I can't afford to go out to eat.
Yes.
Same thing with the casino for me. If I got $500 and I can't afford another $20 in tipping, I can't afford to gamble.
Okay. And then how do you tip that? Do you go right from the get-go?
Well, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I do not keep track of it. So I probably way over tip. And there's reasons for that. I don't want to be known as the color up jerk for one, but honestly, I like tipping, but I always tip as I go along. So along with a lot of my bets, and then I'll immediately start tipping inside for the dealers, across for the dealers if I'm winning. So keep them involved as much as I don't personally, I'm not a prop player, but I will always do a two-way hard way bets, you know, because those pay really well. They're not terrible bets at, you know, the $1 level. But it doesn't change the house edge. But cost per hour, I've done a video on this.
Hard way bets are exceptional
bets for cost per hour. Whereas, so making a feel or a hard way bet for the dealer, and then, you know, I might as well bet for myself so we can both cheer together at a good payoff, is money well spent. So I like doing that. Hard way bets for the dealers, but I don't. So I probably put out a pretty good chunk by the end of the night. And then I always hand in. If I win big, I'll, you know, I always hand in the change, whatever, you know, the odds and ends, the fives and ones or whatever. And then I round up to a decent amount.
Okay.
So I always, but I don't keep track of it and I don't know. So I'll probably, it's too much technically, but there's no too much in being generous. So it doesn't bother me. I'm happy to do it. But if I was a professional craps player and was keeping track of, you know, that would be one of my expenses probably. I think you should still tip, but it would be like, I'm not tipping more than 10% in that case I would probably be like, I just do it at the end or up front. Maybe, hey, I'm bringing a $500 budget. Here's $50.
Yeah. Because if you don't tip at the front, then you might not have it at the end.
Yeah. So if I was a professional and had to like do it as an expense, I'd be like, I'd probably write up front, here's the fit, or, you know, set it aside or something, be like, when I'm done, here's the 10%, or, you know, I don't know what it should be. Obviously it's optional. So it shouldn't be 10. It shouldn't be 20 for me in the restaurant. If it's just 20. It just is. So I know that's, and why should gambling be any different?
I don't know.
I don't know why it should be different, but it is for people. It's like, well, I'm bringing 1,000. I'm supposed to tip 200. Maybe, probably. I mean, you would do that at a dinner if you did $1,000 dinner, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I know some people are like, well, I'll do 10% if it's okay service, 20% if it's great service.
But like your housekeeper, do you tip, you know, as far, I don't have a housekeeper. I'm talking about a hotel. But I'm talking about like a hotel housekeeper is what I'm saying. The person who comes in, makes your bed every morning, or the person on the cruise ship, for example. I know with the tipping they have on the cruise, they have a recommended, you know, tips per day that you're supposed to tip. And I don't know how that's divided up with everybody on the ship and all, but it's just, I don't know. To me, the benefits of the appreciation, sometimes you get a little bit of extra love on the comps. But the other thing I found is this, whether intentional or unintentional as a come better, when they have the come out seven and I've got a couple three come bets up there, I want to say if it's not every time I play, is maybe every two or three times I play, the dealer is human and they'll make a mistake and forget to remove my odds and they'll leave my cumbets up there. Yeah. And I've seen that happen a few times. So I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. And then the other thing with tipping is if I'm, believe it or not, I'm a little bit of a talker, as you know, and if I forget to put my cumbet down, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot my cumbet, or oh, I forgot my odds. And the guy says, drop me the money in the cum. You know, he'll
we'll make it right, right.
Yeah. Make it right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Not to make this a tipping show, an episode about tipping, but
it's part of the plan though.
I think you should plan for it. And I guess it just comes down to, if you can't afford to tip, you probably can't afford to gamble. That's me. That's do what you want. And then I've heard from many dealers that tell me, hey, if you're losing, we don't expect to tip. We get it. You're losing. But if you're winning, it is a service business. Tip the people. How much? There is no how much. You do whatever you're comfortable with. I could care less if it's $5 for the whole night. Whatever you're comfortable with, that's on you. It's on you and your conscience and whatever you're, whatever. Again, it's all, you don't have to, it's not required. So tip zero if that's what you're comfortable with. I think that's wrong, but you do you. You do you.
Yeah.
But I definitely think you should have a plan and a percentage maybe or an idea. But yeah, I've been thinking about that lately. I don't know. I would like to know that I'm giving them enough. For sure. So, but I do like to play. I like betting with them and see how it goes. And then I'll increase my tips if I'm winning. Mm-hmm. And they just play along with me. Because if you kind of look at it and your bets are out there, you know, you're 60, 64 across and you got a $10 line bet and you have, you know, a dollar and maybe $2 in odds. You got $3 out there and, you know, 70 some for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're under 10%, so you can probably do that every shooter.
Yeah, some people why go not cross the box every time.
Cross the box $6. Is $6. So if if you're at a $25 table, what is that? 160 is that 160 across?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
you know, $6 across for the dealers, it's under 10%. 10% would be $10. So, you know, six across for the dealers. For a 160 bet, that should be like a no-brainer, right? You should be able to afford that and be able to do that for the dealers.
Definitely. And then playing the odds and lowering the house edge for them too when they get paid and getting paid true odds.
Yeah. But
like if it's the points on a 4 or 10 and you got $1 behind it, they get 2. Or if you're balling and you can go $5 if you can, you know, put a couple three up there on the line.
Yeah, and the box numbers, you know, they usually pay even money until they get up to a proper amount. So they've got to build them up
right
before they're getting paid good. So it's not a great deal for them. That's why I kind of prefer either, you know, line bets and odds for them or hard way bets for them where they get those, you know, big payoffs. So
the planning a part of the tipping.
Planning is definitely a part of it. You should be thinking about tipping before going to the casino.
And then what else should we be planning about? I had on here before we kind of wrap it up a little bit, but what else? I mean, we're talking about the places, the people, your bets, your strategy, your exit strategy, tipping. What else should we be planning on? One of the other books put it in there. It was kind of funny. It's toward the end. It was this little old book. You remember this one by Basil Nestor? He talks about if you do win big, you know, don't be afraid of asking security to give you a walk out to your car or back up to your room, that kind of thing. Because, you know, it's happened to me a few times and a couple times out of town. And I'm just looking around, at, you know, looking around the people in the casino at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I see everybody's going up to the window, the cash out, and they're like, whoo. You know, and you're all pumped up and you got all these brightly colored chips and you're like, oh my gosh, I hope I can get to the car. You know, I hope I can get to my room.
Yeah. My first thought was, I guess it depends where you're at, but not, you know, I'm thinking like if I'm in Cleveland, you know, it's one thing. If I'm in Blackhawk, Colorado, it's another, but I don't think, I mean, there's scudsy people everywhere. It doesn't matter in the city. So
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about that too much because I've never won that much. Except, well, once I was with my brother and he won like two hand pay on slot machines, like within 5 minutes of each other. And they were both like over 10 grand, right? So here we are with like 20 grand and we're like...
In cash.
Yeah, yeah. That they just paid us. And we're like, should we... Like, I'm like, we can ask for security. Should I bring up the car and then to the front door and you hop in? Like we're looking around at the people who've been, there were a couple ladies of the night that had circled around and asked us, hey, what are you, how are you guys doing tonight? So we're like, right. So you're like, I don't, maybe there should be a plan to get out of here. And we ended up not doing anything, but we definitely gave us pause for a minute with that sort of chunk of change and everyone's seeing you getting paid, right? The first off, the buzzers go off and stuff like that. But it's a little bit harder to win jackpots and craps. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you came in with 5,000, you know, some bigger players and they leave with nine.
But most people don't know that you're coming in with five. You know, you're not maybe flashing the whole thing at one time and people churn at the table, so they don't know what you bought in with. But when you color up and when you're going to that cashier cage, I guess the
bigger players always play with markers typically anyway, so they're, you know, they're getting a temporary loan and then they just pay back the loan. Mm-hmm. and they're not taking the cash, they're just leaving it in and they'll withdraw it later or whatever. So
is there anything in place for like little peons like me?
You could still do it. Yeah, you could still do it. It just
like they credit it to your room or what? What could they do?
Yeah, like an account.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess casinos are different. What they would bother with, you know, mm-hmm. they're not going to $1,000. Maybe,
who
maybe
cares?
Not. But
yeah,
right. So. I mean, so yeah, I guess that is something you need to plan for. It just hasn't been a necessary plan for me. But yeah, if you should be thinking about that safety and security if you've got mm-hmm. large sums of money in cash.
Definitely.
It is something to plan about. And so I don't have the answers because I'm just, I haven't been in that situation, Jim.
Yeah, I haven't. I've only been in a couple of times where I've actually felt like, you know, wow, you know, and I started looking around me and like everybody's looking at me and I was like, not a good feeling.
Yeah.
And especially when you're out of town and, you know, or even in town, wherever you're playing.
Maybe it's just paranoia, Jim. Is it paranoia?
Well, hey, if you get robbed four times in your life, maybe you're a little paranoid.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know Jim's story, but twice at gunpoint. Yeah. And he's had his experiences in life.
Yes.
So,
professor's got some hang-ups and some problems.
He's been violated a few times. I've had some house break-ins and stuff and broken in my car, so, and that's violating enough. So to be held up at gunpoint, that's a whole other ball game that I can't appreciate like you can. So
That's a different episode. But any concluding thoughts here as we're going in, planning, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is planning when you're going to go play a game of craps, if you're a new player especially?
I mean... Probably not much at all, right? I mean, no, not really. I mean, how important is the strategy do you need? Not that important. How important is the amount of money you bring? Not that important, especially if you're going to just have a trial and have fun for the first time. Like,
I don't know.
You need to be all studied up and have.
I think you got to be. Really? Oh my gosh! I think if you're going to go play for the first time, you ought to do a little bit. Stay away. How many times you tell the new players in your videos and talk about bad bets, high house, that stay away from the center bets and da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know, especially like to know what a one roll bet is versus a, you know, I've seen people, you know, they're like, hey, $50, yo, you know, and they've only got $100, but they saw somebody else do it, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I would hope that someone, and I guess they don't. Sometimes they do that, but someone new. I don't know. So how do they plan? Hey, watch a couple. Just be familiar with the game a little bit. Bet on the 6 and 8. Pass line, something like that. I mean, I would say, when I mean don't plan, I just mean keep it simple. Okay. Keep it simple. I've shown some just ridiculously complicated strategies. If you're a beginner, you're probably not playing that anyway. What I mean by don't play it, I guess, is more of just keep it simple.
Okay.
You don't need a lot of planning and memorizing and some crazy strategy. Just keep it simple. Simple 6-8 bet, or a simple line bet with odds, or that sort of thing. And if you got $200 to play with, take $200. If you got $500, play with $500. That's what I mean by not planning. I meant more like just keep it whatever the plan is. Just super simplistic plan. Don't.
I hear you. And my thing. I don't want everybody to think that I think, oh, you got to memorize every bet on the table. And I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you should look at some of the bets and keep it simple, like you said. Know which bets are good and which ones you got a better chance at winning, not better odds, but better chance at winning, that kind of thing. I think you need to plan a little bit.
Some people had some basic knowledge, but not all of them, dude. Yeah. Please do not go with zero plan and be like, this guy, he has a bunch of chips next to him. He probably bought him with 10,000 and he's throwing, like you said, $50 horn high. Yo's like, don't copy that guy. Right. That's not a plan. No. I guess the plan would be have some basic knowledge of the game and keep it simple for yourself.
There you go. That's a better answer.
Thank you for helping me work through that. Yeah,
we got there. We got to where, I mean, if not, why put out the video on how to learn to play craps in 4 minutes? Right. Yeah.
Good point. We got there, though.
We got it. And believe me, I know my job is to make you look good, so I'm trying my best. Anything else that we need to talk about planning? I threw the security at the end. We're coming up on the hour here in a little bit. Any other thoughts on planning?
Plan to have a good time.
Yep. I was getting ready to say plan to have fun. Yeah.
Cause it's a game for entertainment. It's an adult.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It can be very exciting. So plan to have fun and don't plan to bring your old sourpuss bad attitude. Come on. It's a game.
Go to your happy place.
Yeah.
Go to your happy place.
Make it your happy place. Don't bring your anger and make it a sad place for everyone else. Just so plan to be happy and have a good time.
Excellent.
And it'll be a much better experience. So.